Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, prizes, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is up? What's going on? How funny was that? Steve tried to lock the door to keep you out. He already had the headset on. He was replacing you.
Well, he moved up a couple weeks ago, and now he's, I don't know what you call that.
I like Coco.
I mean, he can't be that. He's got to earn his stripes.
It's
it's like a totem pole. You got to work your way up. You can't just jump into the passenger seat.
Is that what a totem pole is? You work your way up?
Isn't that what a totem pole is?
I don't know.
Start at the bottom and I go all the way. There's the other Coco.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that.
Holy.
He's almost on time.
Well.
Happy New Year, big dog.
What was the coach that said, you know, if you're 10 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late? Was that Coughlin?
Yeah, he said all of them. He said all of them.
See, that would have been perfect. That would have been perfect if he had a headset on and he could have said that. But, you know, whatever. Well,
Team's back together.
It is perfect timing. Year. Because there are some things that we do need to talk about.
Okay.
From an NFL perspective. I'm stalling. It takes him forever. He's like a woman trying to put this headset on.
Oh, wow.
I'm a woman.
Woo!
Well, you were like making
Wait,
sure.
Wait, what is a woman, Randy?
What is a woman?
No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to do that to you on air.
Oh, no.
It was nice knowing you, Randy.
All right, so since you threw me under sort of, we can start with that. Or we can start
with the Dana White thing.
Because I do want to talk about that.
I do too. I got notes.
But obviously the Damar Hamlin situation, and honestly, when I just said it, I did just get chills. I truly did. And you know, a lot of things to talk about. I mean, and I want to be sensitive.
Yeah.
You know, but there's two sides to this.
I agree.
You know, and there's livelihoods on the line of that one game.
Yes.
And I'm not even talking about, you know, the staff and, you know, depending on home field and, you know, I don't know how this plays out and all that. But
all that matters.
But first and foremost, and again, I'm serious and I normally don't do this. I do have chills about it. When I saw the hit, and like I was talking to somebody earlier and we were disagreeing on it. He said no, that DeMar didn't tackle him, in my opinion. In my opinion, the offensive player went into him. I mean, there was nothing wrong, nothing illegal.
It's always a tackle. That's still a tackle.
Well, but I'm just saying.
He did tackle him. Whether you get trucked or you don't get trucked, it's still a tackle.
I was saying that it was more the offensive player trying to get more yards. And again, I'm not implying.
It's a regular.
I feel bad for him, just so you know.
I know you do.
I'm talking about the offensive player.
Oh,
I feel blasted.
Bad for every party involved.
Yeah, of course.
And again, I want you to finish your monologue. I don't want to be a Skip Bayless today. I want you to finish your monologue.
And I want to talk about that too, to be honest.
Yeah, no, we will.
And I've never listened to Skip Bayless in my life.
But it's important.
But I still have an opinion on some things that, you know, that I've heard.
Yes.
What I did like is how both teams came together.
Yes.
And just as a viewer, not as a media person, not as a show host, as a viewer, I'll tell you what I believe.
Yeah.
This may not be true because there's talk of the NFL wanted to continue the game. And I guess the NFL has denied that. And my son told me that ESPN came out and said, you know, we were in talks with the NFL. So we know what we were told. I believe the two teams came together and said, we're not going back out.
Yeah.
You know, the two coaches came together. Like, I mean, we've never seen a situation like that.
On camera.
But there has been situations.
There have been. So that's just on camera has never been done, yes.
You know, and that's, I wanted to reach out to Marty Lyons. You know, Dennis Byrd, you know, who was paralyzed, you know, with the New York Jets. It's happened, but you're right. It hasn't been on camera. It hasn't been, just the way it played out was incredible and awful and awesome, and how the brotherhood of you guys. Yes. You know, I don't, as you know, I don't try to watch, I don't try to listen, but, you know, I have had the Four Letter Network on, and Ryan Clark almost in tears.
Yeah.
Orlovsky almost in tears. The brotherhood of you guys, how you've come together. Glad it was down.
What do you mean by you guys?
NFL players.
Oh, I thought of that. You guys.
You gotta, you know what I'm saying? In situations like this, you got to have a little comic relief. You got to have something to... Because it's...
Well, you guys.
Okay, are you... I want to make sure you're done with your monologue.
Well, I could...
I don't want to be a Shannon Sharp. We still love each other. I don't want to be a Shannon Sharp Skip Bayless.
Again, I don't know anything about Went Down, but I have opinions.
I know. I watch everything.
Okay, I don't.
Oh, well, yeah. So
feel
I don't want to be in
No, jump in. Jump in.
But,
I'll turn Matt down.
On the No, Matt's needed for this.
Turn it up.
That's especially a situation like this. Like, we need comic relief. We need something to lighten up the mood. But, like... I have chewed on this for a few days now, and I purposely didn't text you about this because I wanted to do this
sure.
on air and have
right.
honest
right.
conversation. The Darvin Ham thing, his injury, he's fighting for his life right now.
Right.
There's two sides to it, like you said. It is one of those situations where it is a regular routine play, whether or not T. Higgins hit him hard. Not like that's
it's part
regular,
of the game.
It's
right.
part of the game. It's a regular play.
Right.
You cannot eliminate that from the game.
Right.
It's not possible.
Right.
It's not possible to eliminate tackling from football.
They're trying.
The NFL is trying, but like it's going to be flag football, and nobody wants to watch it.
Right.
Right. Imagine you say, "Oh, hey, here's the NBA. You can't dunk anymore." People are going to be like, "I'm not. I want to see windmills. I want to see cool things. I want to see
right.
Steph Curry shoot from half court." You can't eliminate that from the game. It's a normal aspect of the game, but it's a reality for us players, right? And I'm on the other side of it now. Like, we put our lives on the line, and we always make this comparison to war and, you know, and fighting, and it's like, it's not war,
right.
it's not being in the military, but your life is on the line. And I think people got to see that in real time for the first time in a long time. I've seen guys get paralyzed. I've seen guys have injuries that they have to have 21 surgeries on a knee.
Right.
They can't walk anymore. We saw the Pittsburgh Steelers guy almost be paralyzed. And we followed his story for almost 2 years before he can walk again. It was amazing when he can walk again. Right? So it's a part of the game. And it was really, really tragic. And it was really, really sad. And it was awful. Like, it was awful to watch. And I love how – I'll just say positive things first. I love how – the team came around him. I love how his team rallied around him. The sadness on their faces.
Absolutely.
Guys are crying because, like, that's their brother. Like, when you go through something as hard as making an NFL football team, playing, going through camp, day in and day out, you train with these guys, you work with these guys. Like, if anything happened to me, I know both of you would feel a certain way. If anything happened to you, I would feel a certain way. Like
it would, I may not, but
yeah,
with
know.
Matt. But I mean, you, I would feel that way for you for sure.
But like, if anything happened to us, like
for sure,
we would feel that way.
Right.
It would be hard. It'd be hard because I'm like, dude, I saw him yesterday. I talked to him yesterday. Like, I just like that's like my brother. That's somebody that I care about. Like I love. I
right.
So like, I loved to see that. I love to see the aspect of it, and his charity. Again, the last time I checked was yesterday, but it's $3 million
five.
Counting.
It's over five million dollars
now, yeah, right?
It's over $5 million.
And that's what the fans are doing, which right. is the great part about the football community and people being like, "Hey, like we support you." I remember like a few years ago, Josh Allen lost a game, and the Bills fans
right.
donated a bunch of things. Bills
right.
fans donated things to teams that players that didn't even play for the Bills,
right?
Right. So like, it's like one of those things where it's like the NFL community, when tragic things happen, comes so close together. And they get so close. And, excuse me, sorry. That's how those things happen. And, like, that is the beautiful part of it. And I think the NFL did a phenomenal job of making sure that people came in, the people who were needed, came in, saved this man's life, because he died on that football field. Let's not mince words. I'm going to take my glasses off. Let's not mince words. His heart stopped.
Right, his heart stopped.
His heart stopped on the football field. That's death.
Well, no, I don't want to, you know, mix words.
I disagree with you, Randy.
Okay.
If your heart stops, you died. So his heart stopped, and they were able to
bring him back. Right.
And he's in critical condition. And he's fighting for his life.
They brought him back twice, just so you know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Twice now.
Yeah.
So they brought him back twice, and he's in critical condition. He's fighting for his life. But the brotherhood and the family and the love that his family has seen and the way the NFL handled it, I think it's amazing. And I think that's what makes this sport so great. I think that's what makes football so great, is that it's such close-knit.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot of guys that can say I was an NFL football player.
Right.
Even for a year or a practice squad, much less multiple years, much less a guy who's playing on Monday Night Football for one of the best teams in the NFL, right? And so all those things happened. And then to the negative side, right, because, I want to reiterate to everybody listening, it was tragic. It was sad what happened. But at the end of the day, it's a part of the game. We sign up for this. Right? And again, we compare it to war all the time, but it's not ever in your face. War is never in your face. Randy, you were in the military. Kelly, our resident boat captain, was in the military. Those things are not ever in your face. You don't get to see those things, right? But you got to see somebody almost lose his life, and I hope he comes back too, right? In front of your eyes. And it's a hard thing to watch, right? But that is the risk we take as players when we sign up to go play football. We get paid handsomely, and we sign up to play this game. And that is the danger that happens. I've seen people have almost be paralyzed, have surgeries 21 times. I've seen all these things, right? But that was a different thing. You saw somebody almost lose their life, right? Where I get disappointed is the people and the fans who want to find somebody to blame. And they want to find the NFL to blame. Or they want to find Roger Goodell to blame. Or they want to say football shouldn't happen, this, that, and the other. You couldn't stop what happened.
Right.
It wasn't a dirty play.
No, not at all.
It wasn't an illegal thing. It's just like it sucks and it's tragic and it's sad. And I feel for him. And it hit me really, really hard. It hit me really, really hard. Because I was like, I've told you about this personally. And I've told you about this personally. And I'll say it on air so people can understand the gravity of the situation. I've had heart problems. That could have been me at any point in time.
Right.
At any point in time in my career, in 8 years. It could have been me at any point in time. But it wasn't. And it was him. And it's just like, so it hit me really, really hard to see him go through that and see his family go through that. But like, I also know when the doctors told me, hey, you have this heart condition. I knew that when I was in year 4. And I told the doctors, let me die on my shield. I want to play. I don't care. Whatever you have to do. And they didn't, thankfully.
Right.
And they made sure I was okay before I can play. You were there when I was going to doctors back and forth and all those things. Like, I was there.
Right.
You were there.
Right.
So, like, we understand what we signed up for. He understands. He's living his dream.
Right.
And it turned into a nightmare, but he's living his dream. And so, don't discredit him. Right? Don't make this a sob story for him. It sucks. But I don't know his medical background. I just know what I went through. And my situation. And I told the doctors, all the teams, before I got cleared, I was like, hey, I will go do this regardless, right?
Yeah, you told me that.
That's what we want to do.
Right.
That's how we're built. That's what we're made for. And it's a hard part of the game, but that's the reality of the game. That's the reality of what we do, right? And it's like, I love how the fans came around. I love how the team came around. I love Joe Burrow sitting there looking at him like in disbelief. His teammates are crying because they don't, like, dude, this is my brother. Like, I've seen this guy for 2 years working every single day, doing what he has to do every single day, right? And, like, he's living his dream. He's playing the Monday. I remember playing a Monday Night Football. People don't understand the difference between Monday Night Football and a regular Sunday game. You have the camera that's on the middle of the field, the little spider camera with all the cords. It's a big presentation. It's a different thing. You get your name out there. You tell you what college you're from. When Tarok says
or elementary school.
Elementary school. When Tarok says Baltimore University. All those things. It's a special moment.
Right.
It is a special moment. He was living his dream. And as unfortunate as it is, I think the NFL handled it perfectly. I think the public, we don't need to know everything right now. Because I didn't know anything until later. I was watching it in real time like everybody else was. You don't need to be like, oh, this guy went down or the game's over. Because we've seen guys go down,
right,
almost paralyzed. They give a thumbs up and the game continues, right? That's how we're trained as players.
Right.
So I think the NFL did a great job. I think people who are blaming the NFL, blaming Roger Goodell, all these things.
Let me just jump in for a second, because I don't know. Who's blaming? Not who, because I don't care. What could they possibly be blaming Roger Goodell or the NFL?
People are saying that the NFL wanted to continue the game after he went down. And I'm saying that's not the case.
I don't think they care.
I know players from both teams.
Right.
We know a player from one of the teams.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't think the NFL wanted to continue the game. I just think it's... You don't need to know everything right now.
Right.
Need it's to not know. Your business.
Yeah,
it's
need to know.
Right? Like, somebody went down and you're doing CPR on the field is different than somebody's like, right. It's a different thing.
Turn it off and
yeah, it's a different thing. Sure. So, like, I think the people, and I don't think it's a big majority, right? But, like, you know, the quietest, the minority of the loudest voices because, you know, whatever it is, like, you know that saying.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's kind of what's happening. And the people who are doing those things are missing the point. And when we're supposed to be showing love and appreciation to this family and how the NFL handled it, canceling the game, regardless of implications, because that's going to come on later.
Right, sure.
Right? We'll talk about it.
Yeah,
that's going to come on later.
Right.
But show this guy respect. They canceled the game. They got him off there. You can see the emotions, and not just his teammates' faces, but the other teammates' faces. And I'll tell you a quick story, and I've told you this story before. But it was, I think, my third year in the NFL playing right guard. It's the last game of the season. I'm playing against Grady Jarrett, right? I've been having a good game against him. Like, I'm giving him the work. And Grady Jarrett's a phenomenal player. Phenomenal player. And I'm blocking him on a run play after I've been, like, again, like, it's fourth quarter. I've been playing good against him, so I'm doing a good job. And I'm playing against him. I'm blocking Grady Jarrett. And I drove him off the ball, like, 3 or 4 yards, right? And in the NFL, it doesn't sound like a lot. In the NFL, that's a lot to get that done. Drive him off. The running back, I think it's Ronald Jones, he's about to fall. He gets tripped up, and he's about to fall on my legs, like in the back of my legs. And I might have an ACL injury or MCL injury or like a serious injury that's going to require surgery. While I'm blocking Grady Jarrett, he pulls me out of the way. Pulls me out of the way, and the running back falls right in front of me. And he looks at me. He goes, "We don't need any injuries going into the offseason. Neither of us are going to make the playoffs." Right? Like, we don't need any injuries going into the offseason. That's the brotherhood we have.
Right.
Wow.
Like, in the moment, he saw that happening. Right. It was like, "I'm not going to let you get injured and have surgery that's going to affect your career because you got a family like I got a family.
Mm-hmm.
I make money like you make money. This is how we feed our people. I'm not going to let you get hurt." That's the brotherhood the NFL has. That's the family that the NFL has. And so, whoever... PSA, whoever is blaming the NFL, it's not the NFL's fault.
Yeah,
that could not have been avoided. It could have happened if he was picking up bags at Walmart, at anything. Like, it's a tragedy, and I think you get to see both sides, and the people who understand, look at the positive sides. Like you said, $5 million raised to his charity. He was able to be revived. Like, who knows if he's doing another job, if they respond that quickly, or if he just dies. My uncle passed out from a cardiac, died from a cardiac arrest 2 years ago. He was at home.
It couldn't
have been done any faster.
Yeah.
And he died from that. I had to go to that funeral. Right? Like, that's what happens, right? And you're in a situation where there's a company and a thing that care. Again, it's not perfect. The NFL is not perfect. I'm not saying that. But they handle that situation as good as you could have handled it.
Yeah.
As good as you could have handled it. And it's just like, dude, like, it's a tragedy and it sucks. And it sucks to see that live. Like, again, as Americans, right, even though I'm African and Nigerian, I'm an American citizen, right? But as Americans, we're not used to seeing these kind of things live in our face.
Right.
A lot of people are, right? And so I think we have to all take a breath and understand that these things happen and it sucks and it's tragic, but like, appreciate the fact that he even has a chance to fight for his life.
Yeah, he's still fighting. Yeah.
He has a chance.
It's not done for him.
Like his family released a statement. They were like, dude, they were like, "Thank you guys. Thank you for all the love. Thank you for donating to charity. Thank you for giving my son a chance," because like, that couldn't have been avoided. He could have, ran into a tree. It doesn't matter. Like, that wasn't a hard hit. It wasn't an illegal thing. It wasn't
That's how Macho Man Randy Savage passed, I think. He had a heart attack while driving his Jeep.
Right. Exactly. So it's like those things happen, right?
Luckily, it happened when it did.
And it was in the...
Not that we wanted it.
And he had the greatest care in seconds. I mean...
Yes. So, everyone wants to find a boogeyman when something bad happens.
Well, and
there is no boogeyman to find. It's just a sad thing.
Yeah.
Two things to comment real quick. One, and I don't want to respond on Twitter because some of these are my friends.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, just I'm not.
Skipped in to do a good job.
No.
Responding on Twitter.
You know, and I've always said this, that both sides hate me. You know, we're normally it's one side, you're on the other. Everybody hates me. People are coming out and saying it was a vaccine related. That the vaccine had something
to do. Yeah, it's just like people are nuts. No, like honestly, and I
wouldn't use the word nuts.
I try to stay away from those. In this situation with this topic, I'm going to call them idiots.
Yeah, well, I was going to say stupid.
Yeah, they're stupid. Like, it's just like, dude, like, life is hard, man, and things happen, and sad things happen. And it's just like, I think we have such a good life here in this country that you kind of get blinded away from everything else.
Uh-huh.
And when these kind of real things happen, you kind of, like, are shocked. Like, oh, whoa, who do we blame for this? Like,
Nobody.
You know, there's nobody to blame. It's just like, it's hard.
The second thing, and they've talked in great deal about this, and, you know, I'm going to just change it for a second and then bring it back. It's like when you go to spring training, and you go to spring training, and you see the pitcher. You see Nolan Ryan. I don't know why he's the first pitcher I thought of, but you see Nolan Ryan on the mound doing those drills, you know, where the guy with the fungo bat, he hits the two-hopper to the pitcher, and, you know, he fields it, and he throws to first base. It's Nolan Ryan. You know, it's Steve Carlton. It's named some of the top pitchers of all time. You know, they're doing it every day nonstop. And you know why? It's so that when that ball gets hit to you on the mound, instantly, you know, you field it, you throw to first. I didn't realize, I'm sure you did, Caleb, that the medical team goes through this every single day. Game day, they're out there. They meet before. They determine who's the head. It's like Jeff Davidson would do with the UFC. And they go through it. And you would think, why do you do this all the time? How quick did they respond?
They responded so fast.
It was incredible.
They responded so fast. And I think, I don't know who the announcers were. I can't, you know, to congratulate them personally. But they did a great job talking people through it, talking everybody through it. But the NFL responded supremely fast, enough to give him a chance.
Right. Yeah.
Because this stuff happens every day. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
People have cardiac arrest. This stuff happens every day. You hear people die of heart attacks all the time.
Every day. Every second. Like,
and there's nobody there. You just find somebody dead in their, you know, sorry to use that word, but like you find people just dead in their living room or this or that or whatever it is. And they had enough response time to revive him, like you said, twice. I thought it was once. It's twice. Yeah. Two times.
One on the field and then once in the transport.
Yeah. And he's in critical condition, but the fact that he's in that position is a testament to how fast they responded.
For sure.
And I've seen people saying, like, the NFL needs to have helicopters to life lift people to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, dude, like, nobody expects this to happen. This is not something you prepare for, somebody dying or almost dying on a football field.
Right.
So I think they handled it phenomenally.
I do, too.
I think they did a great job.
Now speaking of a little comedic laughter, you're talking about, like, football players, how they announced the school they went to. Like, you know, they have a big play, and then they announce, like, you know, Caleb Bittenoff from UCLA, right?
Yeah.
So have you seen the meme where there's a Facebook, and they throw the ball, and the kid's running to catch it, and he runs into, like, a truck.
Yeah.
And then the grill, they put the mouth in, and it says,
yeah,
2004.
I saw that.
Yeah, Chevy Tahoe.
Thank you for lighting it up, because it was it was heavy. Like, it was a heavy topic
for
the last couple of days.
We'll get back to Get Heavy in a second, but and I don't watch Saturday Night Live, but did you see that skit? Because Shauna showed it to me.
I did not.
You need to see the Saturday Night skit.
Okay.
It is hilarious. Now, I can blow it for you, or you can just go watch it. Okay. It's one of the funniest things you will ever see. So I think all you got to do is Google or YouTube, Saturday Night Live, like all-star team, and they announce all of it. Do it before you leave today.
Because
I want to see your reaction. It's phenomenal. It is so funny. May even have you do it live on the air, because that's how funny it is. But all right, now, let me ask you this question as a player. How do you move on? And, you know, what I said last night, and again, I hope this is, doesn't come across as disrespectful because it's not meant to be. It was just as much the players, it was for the players not to continue the game, not necessarily, in my opinion, out of respect for DeMar. You know, DeMar's in an ambulance. You know, DeMar's on the way to the hospital. As a player, as a teammate, how do you go out on the field? Hopefully you've never been in a situation anything like this. How do you go out there and perform? How do you go out there in a job that this can happen the very next play and stay mentally focused of what your job is and not that your teammate, brother, is in an ambulance?
So I've thought about this for the last 48 hours, wherever it's been. This is what we're trained to do, right? You in the military, and I make this parallel because there's nothing else close enough. You can't, like, there's no desk job where somebody is, you know, getting hit. And
the pizza man's down. How do you step in and make exactly, the next
like
pizza? That,
those things typically don't happen, right? But, like, I'm sure, and again, I don't want to bring up any PTSD for you, but I'm sure you've seen people next to you get severely injured or pass away or things like that in your time in the military. Our Captain Kelly, he's seen those things.
Yeah,
you guys
Kelly
have seen,
has. Yeah, Kelly
you,
has.
You guys have seen those things, right?
Not me.
Like,
no, no.
Not you. But I'm saying, like, people in the military have seen those things. Yeah. As a player, that's what we're trained to do, compartmentalize. I've seen guys blow out ACLs, have horrible injuries, get hit, and his kneecap is touching his back because he had to have 21 surgeries afterwards. His
fights,
life,
you know, UFC fights.
UFC
when you
fights.
See legs break.
His life is forever changed. His family's life. He can't hold his kids anymore.
Before Monday, the most famous Monday night injury was Joe Theismann.
Exactly.
Troy Taylor.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Prime time.
Like, those things happen, and what happens? I've been at practice, and somebody blew out their ACL badly from a hit, and we move up 15 yards, let the doctor handle it, and we continue our practice.
Right.
That's how we're trained to go.
Right.
That's what we are compartmentalized to do. Like, it's compartmentalization. Like, hey, like, we all know what we signed up for. There is a sticker on your helmet that says, hey, it's for protection, but you will get brain damage. You will get this head injury. This it's like a little, like a fine print of your iPhone. Like, that's how we live. Again, this is a much more escalated, gruesome situation.
Right.
But say, hypothetically, the NFL said this game is going to continue. Those guys would have played, and you'd have seen good football. Because that's what we're trained to do.
All right.
Like, it's nothing else. Like, again, I don't want to compare it to war, because war is always life and death. Always.
Right.
This is more so gruesome injury, and it's not really a death aspect up until situations like this happen, right?
Right.
But, like, if I talk to somebody, my boy Ray Cash, somebody who is in the military, who was a SEAL team guy, like, if somebody passes away, the war isn't over.
Right. Yeah, they don't take a break.
You don't get to say, hey, sorry, we're done now. Sorry, guys, hey, time out.
Let's come back in the morning.
No, you keep going.
Right.
You make sure your brother's okay. You get him to the side, you get him home, get him to his family, and then you keep going. And that's kind of how those things go. And so, like, that's how we're trained. And so it's like, as crazy as it sounds to most people, because it's not, we're not most people. I tell people all the time, I pull into work at 5:30 in the morning, hit the hot tub and hit the gym, and I'm just like, my body feels absolutely awful. I'm an insane person to keep doing this every single day.
Right. And love doing it.
And love doing it. Right. That's the thing. And love doing it.
Right.
And it's not about the money. It's not. Because a lot of those guys have made a lot of money. It's not about the money. It's I love doing this. I love showing up here. I love battling. I love competing. I love when the fans cheer. I love it more when they boo. I love
That's why we're so tight.
Yeah. I love it more when they boo.
Right.
I love it more when when I'm playing for the Bucks and I'm in New Orleans and I can't hear Ryan Jensen next to me and I'm blocking Cam Jordan and I'm balling out and the fans, it's hushed now, it's quiet. We love that aspect of it. Right. And so he was living his dream. And I don't want to take that away from him and blame the NFL for anything. Like, it's a different breed of person that's out there. And if you've ever met an NFL player or close to the NFL player, or you date one, especially our women and our wives as an Army veteran, right, as you're crazy, Matt, right? Yeah. So your wife probably deals with that too, like,
for sure. Well, no, she's crazier.
Yeah. She's Brazilian. So exactly, right? So you probably deal with it more than she does. So
Brady and I have a lot in common.
Anybody who have close contact with people like this, like us, Army veterans, Marine, because, like, it's being in the Army is ridiculous. Like, the stress you're under.
Sure.
Like, be under that kind of pressure. Anybody who's dealt with those kind of things, you understand the kind of person that it takes to do those kind of things. Because most people can't. Most people can't wake up in the morning at 5 in the morning, go to the gym and train and be in there till 10 p.m. and do all these things. So it takes a special kind of person, and I don't want to take that away from him. And I think he's living his dream. It turned into a nightmare. It's really, really sad. And I want to prop him up in this time. I want to prop the NFL up for their response time and what they did. And I think it was, other than his injury and what happened to him, everything else that happened afterwards was perfectly handled.
Sure, sure. And I know my wife doesn't listen to the show, and I'm fine with that.
Smart.
But no, I agree with that.
Smart lady.
But I just want to throw out, because we kind of talked about this.
Yeah.
You know, as we're watching this and watching it play out, you know, I've never thought of this, the amount of deaths my wife has seen, being a nurse in a hospital. You know, doctors, you know, and you, I've never thought, you know what I'm saying? It's weird, but
my sister's a doctor.
I've never thought about everything that they go through. It's just, no, they're doctors.
Yeah.
No, she's a nurse in the OR.
Because it's not televised,
right?
You don't see it live.
Right.
I'll tell you a story right now on air, and I'm sorry, PSA again, anybody who's triggered. I was an 8-year-old kid, and in Africa, there's a thing at the time. Again, this is probably 2009-ish, whatever it was. There's something called jungle justice in Africa, right? They have people selling stuff on the street. There's shops, right? Like, you know, like it's a
marketplace. It's
a marketplace, such and such. If somebody steals something, right, people don't let it go to the police all the time,
right?
You steal something, street justice.
Right.
Somebody sees something happen, you take care of it.
Right.
I watched a man steal from a shop. The other people in the other shops next to him tackled this man, beat him up, they put tires around him, and lit him on fire in the marketplace. I was 8 years old. I watched this happen.
Wow.
I watched this happen in front of my face at 8 years old, right? So, like, again, am I a little numb to things of that nature? But it's just like, it takes a certain kind of person to do what we do.
Were they Firestone tires?
Probably good year.
Maybe afterwards.
And I was going to say, I'm sure that taught you never to steal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, chop people's hands off in front of it. It's just.
That happened in our, and I know we've blown through breaks, whatever. We'll take one here shortly. My ship was in Bahrain. Now, these are adults.
Yeah.
Right? So these two donkeys. Because I don't know if I can say what they were. They shimmied up the flagpole and stole the Bahrainian flag.
They were Americans that did this? Two shipmates?
Yeah. Okay. You know, it shimmied up. They got arrested. And in Bahrain, they chop your hands off.
Yeah.
And it took the president to get involved and save these two dummies their hands.
Wow.
And we had like 30 minutes to get out of the country.
Wow.
Or it was going to, they kicked us out of the country. So, I mean, again, I didn't see them lose their hands, but.
Yeah, that's how it is.
I'm never stealing in another country.
And like, that's like.
New York City's different because you can steal in New York City.
No, is that allowed now?
Oh, you didn't know the new rule?
I didn't know.
This is a new law that just went into effect that I think it's 12 or under or 14 or under. They can do anything as long as it's not homicide.
Whoa.
As long as it's not homicide. You can go in and steal. You can go in and take whatever you want.
I think Illinois passed the same rule.
Are you
kidding? Unless it's homicide, you can't be held in prison. You can't be held in jail. They have to check you out. Yeah, you can't be held in jail up until trial. I think Illinois passed the same rule, yeah.
Wow. Not to change the subject, but
yeah.
All right, a lot of stuff still to get to. As you were talking, I wrote down some other stuff that we need to get to.
Yeah.
I haven't seen you in about 2.5 years, so I'm sure that you have a lot of stuff to talk about.
I do.
Let's go hit our first and probably only break of hour number one. Coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Yo, this is Phil Baroni, the New York Badass from the UFC, and you're listening to Talk Sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, If you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Tour de Pizza is back as Tournament Day Pizza, located at 170 47th Avenue Northeast in St. Petersburg. Located inside the Racquet Club of St. Pete, we've proudly been serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the last 15 years and running. Tour de Pizza, full menu, full liquor bar, same great pizza, Tour de Pizza. Visit us online at tourdepizza.com. Now remember, a slice a day keeps the doctor away. Tour de Pizza, it's where winners eat.
Looking for the perfect holiday gift? Randy Harris here, and once you check out the vinyl image, your search will be over. This is the gift. Perfect for the man cave, she shed, kids' room or garage. Get your favorite band, animal, sport, military, or custom your own record design. I already put my order in, and so should you. Vinyl records are back. Tune in to Knockout Radio for details on how to win a gift certificate to thevinylimage.com.
Skunk Ape Electronics is just amazing. Get connected through music with Skunk Ape Electronics. Custom boomboxes, veteran-owned and operated, and American-made. Go to skunkapeelectronics.com and change the way you listen to music. Get 10% off your first purchase when you sign up for our newsletter. Stop by any Knockout Radio broadcast and check out what they use from Skunk Ape Electronics. Amazing. Just amazing. You don't need to be in the military to take advantage of Military Case Surplus, where you can buy pre-owned storage cases up to 80% off. Most cases are waterproof, airtight, and in excellent used condition at unbeatable prices. Military Case Surplus is located at 8989 Ulmerton Road, Suite B, in Largo. If you need it, they should have it. Call 727-276-8716 or come see them. We all need storage, and Military Case Surplus can save you a lot of money. And they're cool as well. Check them out on Facebook at Military Case Surplus.
The Country Depot is located in the heart of downtown Brooksville at 36 North Broad Street. And they have everything under the sun, from one-of-a-kind art and decor to sports memorabilia, from metal signs and handbags to men's wallets. It's worth the drive. But you can also shop online at countrydepotstore.com. You never know what you'll come across when you visit Country Depot.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is R.W. McQuarters from the Chicago Bears, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from Tournament de Pizza here. What's the address?
170 47th Avenue, Northeast, St. Pete, Florida.
Do you feel like people coming in? Do you want to make pizza or just stay away for a little while?
Stay away for a little bit. I need a break.
Okay.
Working too hard, man.
A couple things to talk about. Before we talk about the Dana White, there's a couple things I want to ask you. Like I said, it's been a couple weeks. I want to go back in time, and you and I and some of your former teammates have had discussions about media.
Yeah.
You know, we don't necessarily have to name names, but this particular incident, names will be named. I want to talk to you about the Giovanni Bernard thing that happened a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
See who should not be named. Strikes again.
Well, yeah. But you know, but again, these people can be named because there's video of it. There's video proof of it. I personally think both sides were wrong. But and you know where I stand with media, again, I'm hated by everybody. For somebody to say, what have you done all year?
I don't think both sides are wrong at all. I think one side is wrong.
I don't know.
I think one side. And I'll let you get to your point first,
okay,
and then I'll tell you my side of it.
Okay. My thing is, when Giovanni said, why are you talking to me now? I don't think, and he said, you haven't talked to me all year.
Yeah.
When Greg Augman said, we talked on Tuesday. I'm always, especially with Knucklehead, when you say something, make sure you're right.
Mm-hmm.
So now he sort of opened it when he said, you haven't talked to me all year. I don't like anything else that was said by the media, but you were involved in a play. You know that there's relationships, and you know, and you and I have talked about some other things that have happened before.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with the media going up and wanting to talk to him.
I don't either.
About that.
Don't either. I don't either.
That's why I'm saying I think both sides were wrong. In my opinion, for Giovanni to say, Why are you talking to me? I've got family outside. You know you're going to be asked a question.
Okay.
You and I both know that players have a way of not being around to answer questions.
And he was trying to leave, yeah.
He should have been gone before the media got in.
That's not possible.
It is possible.
It's hard to do.
It's
by the time you get in there,
I know a player who didn't shower. He just left.
Okay, but
I'm just saying.
Coach has to talk.
Right.
You walk in there. You don't even have time to take your tape off. Like, you cut your ankle tape and take your
jersey off. And we're in there.
Before coach comes in and gives his speech. And when coach is talking, you're not undressing. It's not allowed. Right? So coach comes in and he's like, hey, come in. Whether you won or lost, he's going to give his little speech about the game, blah, 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 blah. And by the time you can take your shoulder pads off, media's walking in. Right? Because you're going to be outside exchanging jerseys, this, that, and the other. People come in late. And when everybody gets in,
that's when the coach comes.
There's not enough time. And maybe, again, I don't know how it was back in Warren Sapp days. But in the last 10 years, like, there's no time.
He wanted to say 1800s.
I
don't know what it was like in the 1800s.
You're wearing your shoulder pads
locker room.
And cleats to your car.
Out to the car, well.
Like, there's not enough time to do that. So
I didn't have a problem with the media trying to ask him a question.
I don't either.
You know,
I don't either. I have no problem with the media asking him that question, talking about the game. The way they approached it just shows the disrespect.
Yeah, the lack of respect.
And it goes back to the ham thing about how people see players, and we're just a number on a jersey and a helmet. Unless you are Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and the stars, you are a number on a jersey, and we don't care about you. It's just like, what have you done for us to talk to you? I make $5 million a year. What do you make to do with your job?
Right.
Like, why should I have to talk to you?
Right.
Like, what makes me want to talk to you? And so it's just like, we always have to be respectful, and we frown on guys who are disrespectful to the media.
Absolutely.
They're always frowned on.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving gets slack. All these guys get slack when you trash media, because media controls the narrative.
Right.
So guys are always frowned on for being negative to media. People hate Greg Popovich, as great a coach as he is, because they're like, oh, Greg Popovich, Bill Belichick, these guys, you know, kind of scorn the media. And so they get trashed. And then now you want to come trash a player? It's like, oh, you've been injured all year. And so what?
What does that have to do with?
Yeah. Respect me.
Right.
There's a way to ask me something, and I'll be like, hey.
We've talked about this.
Hey, Gio. Like, can we talk about what happened in the game?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, obviously he's upset. Let me give you a little background. Giovanni Bernard was the starting running back against the Cincinnati Bengals. He's played, this might be his 10th or 11th year. He's a good player. He's played in the league a long time, a very long time, had a lot of success. And now he went from being a starter for Cincinnati Bengals, getting 1,000 yards, getting catches, doing all these things. Now he's a special teams player, right? That's a hard pill to swallow.
Sure.
It is.
Sure.
As a man, anybody, you get demoted, quote unquote, it's a hard pill to swallow. And now he's doing that job. He makes a mistake in the five plays he plays a game. He's not in the running back rotation. He makes a mistake. And then you want to come to him and be like, what have we done to talk to you all day? All year, there's a way to ask somebody a question. There's a way to approach him.
Absolutely.
Right? And then as a media person, if somebody gets aggressive with you, diffuse the situation. Don't push. She said, you've been injured all year. She should not be named. 6 times. Like, what have you done to talk to you?
So do you agree?
Why not talk to you? So what have you done for me to talk to you?
Right.
Do you agree with the narrative that only people who played the sport should be able to be media questions about
it? Not even a little bit.
They don't have a perspective.
Most coaches didn't play in the NFL.
In a way.
Most coaches didn't play in the NFL.
I'm going to disagree for this reason. A lot of the times, and I'm going to use me and what you guys have told me, because I don't look at it as a player. You know, I look at things differently.
Yes.
You know, we talk differently. I don't want to know X's and O's. You know, I don't want to talk football. I want to talk about the person, the player. We talked about Jorge Diaz, good friend of mine. I think I've told you this story. A magazine that's no longer around, I think they do online now, wrote a big article. I believe I told you this. And they called him trash, and they called him this, and they called him that. And then on Wednesday, we went in the locker room, and they're running up to him to sit down next to him and talk to him. And it blew my mind. And I've always said, you can say something negative, just be respectful.
Yes.
There's a way to say you had a bad game without saying you're trash.
And as I transitioned into coaching, which I was doing earlier today, coaching some kids up at House of Athlete, shout out to them, Players are human beings. We see all these things. And I love what Carlton Davis did when She Who Should Not Be Named asked him a question. And he said, you know, we feel like the media in Tampa has been disrespecting our guys. We don't like how that happened. Ignored her question and spoke on what his team spoke on. It's important to those guys. And if you want to do your job, right, you can't do it alone. You need people. Right. You need relationships.
For sure.
That's how you grow. Stephen A. Smith became who he is because he had a relationship with Allen Iverson. And when he did a hit piece on Allen Iverson said, I'm not offended this story was written. I'm offended it was written by you. Because we have a relationship. Those relationships matter. They matter. These are people right. still. You can't look at it as a commodity and it's just like, oh, it's a Bucks player. No, I'm a person. So you approach me the right way. The same way you don't want to get disrespected when I'm talking to you. You don't want me to call you names and say things about you. I don't want to get disrespected. I just made a mistake in front of 80,000 people and plus 2 million people watching on TV on Sunday Night Football. I know how I it hurts, right? Be respectful. Get what information you want to, but be respectful about it. That's why, again, segue. That's why Skip is taking heat that he's taking because I don't think Skip was wrong for what he said.
What did he say? Yeah. I don't even know what he says.
Skip basically said, I'm paraphrasing here, he had a bunch of tweets about he was really sad for the Ham situation. Uh-huh. He was sad about what happened. But he was like, his last tweet, which is what everybody's focusing on, is how does the NFL move on from this game? A game that's so important that has so many playoff implications,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you play this? How do you continue from this game? How do you play this game the next time? How do you restart this game? And he says, but none of that matters at the bottom. But the problem is, it comes from Skip Bayless. It doesn't matter what Donald Trump tweets. You're hearing it from
right.
Donald Trump.
Right. Right.
Kanye West, at this moment, it doesn't matter what he tweets, right. you're right. from Kanye West, right. right? It's the person and the reputation you built for yourself, and so now people just see it from a certain lens.
Yeah.
When you read all his tweets, I don't think he said anything that everybody else was thinking, because, again, now the Bills aren't going to play this game. The Bengals aren't going to play this game. The Chiefs have the number one seed. If the Bills lose to the Chiefs at home, at the Chiefs' home, now it's like, oh, well, it shouldn't have counted. The Bills should have been the number one seed.
Right.
All these things
right,
happen way later, right?
Right.
And he's saying things that people think about, people with football minds think about, but it's coming from you, though.
Right.
Right? So there's a way to go about things. There's a way to be respectful to people. And I just think, like, when you're in the media and you build this representation of, like, this is how I approach things, people are always going to deal with you at arm's length.
Right.
Right?
For sure.
And you don't get further in your career doing that.
Right.
Unless you want to be Skip who does these things and like that's what you make a career on.
Right.
But then you're going to find yourself in these kind of situations. When you say something, it's like, no, it's bad because he said it.
But the point I was trying to make about is like, look at the commentators like Troy Aikman and, you know, they yeah. bring in all these Tony Romo because they played the position. They can break down the position. Tom Brady has a 10-year deal lined up after he retired.
That's different from being
like,
media.
Compared to like yeah. like a Dennis Miller.
A color commentator is different than being like a beat writer.
They had Dennis Miller coming in and he's like talking about like lining up like they did in the Battle of 1812 when Randy was in high school. And like it was like, you know, like all these strategies of things.
Do you know who used to do play-by-play for the Buccaneers? Jesse Ventura.
The governor? The body?
Yeah.
Jesse the body
yeah,
Ventura?
Yeah, Jesse the body Ventura.
I don't even know who that
governor
is.
Governor of Minnesota.
He was a wrestler. A WWE.
He went on to be a governor.
Yeah. Kane is a mayor.
Yeah, yeah. he's a
but,
mayor.
But I'm saying, like, should you have perspective in a sport to, like, understand? Like, wouldn't you have a different level of respect? The questions would be different if you actually played the sport. If the people that were in the locker room after the game actually played football or coached football or had a better understanding of what you guys do, I say no.
Okay, so I agree with what you're saying in the fact that, like, I do think players, most players, because you do have some players who want to dive into that Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless role, and they want to be, like, shock jocks, right?
Pat McAfee?
No, I love Pat McAfee.
I do, too. There's a rumor. A guarantee. I have a guarantee from somebody that's in this restaurant right now that Pat McAfee will do our radio show on Radio Row.
I'd love that.
Well, I
think Pat McAfee is one of the best things that happened to sports talk, especially football talk. Excuse me. That dude's amazing.
At the ReliaQuest Bowl on Monday, I was informed that one of our producers is famous because Pat McAfee actually stopped film on his show, talked about the man's hair. Oh, and a rock star, the guy.
He just
is.
Found it, too.
And,
he found evidence of it.
So it was brought to our attention by another local guy named The Rock. What's the guy's name? The Rock?
Rock Riley.
Rock Riley, that's it.
Yeah.
I just see rock stars. I see Rock Riley. Just full of rocks.
Yeah, I'm just disagreeing with stupidity to my right when he said media. If you say play-by-play, yes, that's different.
It's a different thing.
Yeah.
Most players don't want to go into being a beat writer, being a play-by-play guy and doing those kind of things. But I do think there's a relationship there, right? Those guys who come into the locker room who have that access, I didn't just see you on Sunday. I see you all week up until like Saturday, right? Right. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you're in my locker room. You see me every day. So to approach me the way you approach me when I see you every day, to me, there's a disrespect there. And like, if I have to be professional and I have to respect you, I expect the same respect back. And if you know I just had a play that possibly, and again, it didn't lose them the game.
No one play loses a game. That's the fallacy that people think.
And there was also four turnovers after that conversion they tried to make, right? So, like, there was four turnovers after that when they were up, right? There's blame to go all around. But you know that hurt me. I'm a person. If you mess up, if you write a bad story, you get chastised, right? We just don't all see it.
Right.
Everybody got to see me mess up. So approach me in a way. You want your story. You want your quote. You want something that you're going to get done. Approach me the right way and don't belittle me. You were injured all year, and so what? I'm a person. You don't think it sucked being injured? You don't think I've been in the training room. It's miserable. See your brothers walking out to go to practice and you feel like you're useless. Like, I've had injuries. Like, that stuff isn't fun. And so, like, there's a respect factor there that I wasn't reciprocated by those people.
Right. No, for sure.
Anytime you go through a hard thing in your life. So imagine if I came to you after somebody has a divorce, and I'm just like, oh, what did you do wrong?
Right.
You're like, get out of my face.
And and that's why, you know, and I don't want to necessarily talk about me, but that's why, because, again, you and I have talked about this. To me, one of the most important things that I've done in the 35-plus years is when I do have a relationship, ask Jorge Diaz, you know, ask Aaron Stecker. When players that have done the show, we become friends, when they leave, it's more important to me personally to reach out to him once the player leaves. Because I want them to know, I have said this quote to Caleb, I met Caleb because of what he does and what I do. Right. I don't care what he does, but I was fortunate to meet him because our two jobs collided. So I've seen some stuff in the locker room that just shakes my head. And getting back to the comment, you know, you haven't played all year, then maybe during the year you could have gone up and say, hey, how are you doing?
Checked on him.
Just check on him. I want to say one more thing. One person in the 35 years that I have been on the radio, I have a lot of relationships of ex-Buccaneers. There's only one person that I have ever dealt with that every freaking time I would see this person, the first thing he would say is, how's your family? This is from a player. Of course, that's you, by the way.
I know.
Okay. every single time. You know, and that's how you know, there's a respect, you know. He treated me respectfully, and now he's like my grandson.
So, but I think I want to say this, and I'm gonna say this. I want to say this like without any joke or any other purpose. Like, but I can hear your emotion today.
Yeah.
Like I can feel your emotion, and you know, we always think about CTE and like the protocol, the concussions, and we see it in with what Tua's going through in Miami. But I mean. But those things you're saying put a different light on the job, the passion, the want to be there, the injuries that prevent you from performing at your best, being used or a number on a jersey and traded or a contract cut short or not fulfilling a dream or expectation you thought you would have to set your family up for generations to come. You know, and I think that emotional side of professional sports is one that doesn't get talked about enough.
We've talked about that on the Monday Night Players show, that fans only see Sunday. You know, they're like, what do you do the rest of the week? You know, you play on Sunday, then what do? You know, they don't see, they don't realize, they don't, you know, see them in the cold plunge that you're now pushing. You
we're
know,
about
that
to they see do. 4 o'clock. Yeah. We're about to shorts. Well, we got saran wrap. Yeah, we got saran wrap.
Yeah, fine. I got shorts.
Randy uses saran wrap.
But it's just like, it's like, again, like I said, like, there's days where I'm like, dude, I spent $10,000 on a doctor coming in because I want to play on Sunday. And I'm like getting needles and all these things. Like, I'm walking around my house. I have to use a like I was like Randy using a cane to walk around my house.
Yeah, he can be sponsored by.
He's no longer my grandson.
He should get sponsored by those medical devices
to walk around my house because like I'm in so much pain.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Exactly, I need a life alert. You know, like
that was Christmas gift
just to play on Sunday, just because I know that like Donovan Smith plays a different way when I'm next to him than when somebody he hasn't played is next to him.
Yeah,
right. Ali Marpet plays a certain way. DeMar Dawson plays a certain way. Ryan Jensen, he knows. I know what Caleb's going to do in this situation, right? And so, like, it's just a thing that people don't get to see. And now it's put in their face with this situation. And I hope people kind of get to sit back and
we got
it. It looks like Ali Marpet's decision to walk away in his prime to avoid these kind of catastrophes looks brilliant.
Not more importantly, but Ali Marpet can now walk sideways through a door.
Yeah, he lost 75 pounds.
After the break.
We'll do that. We he looks phenomenal. We saw him the other day.
I didn't even recognize him.
1 hour down, 1 hour to go. We will continue, and I'm sure it'll get out of hand on a couple things we do still need to talk about. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Stop Sound.
You can see the morning, but I can see the light.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
is CBS News.